Hope you're not too freaked out by the kind of new feel for church. By the way, the sofa's now free, guys, so if any of you guys at the back want to put your feet up a little bit. Basically, every Sunday now, there's going to be a mad rush for the leather couch, I reckon. I've already been, the young people have already told me that, you know, Sarah and the guys have already told me that that's this. Look at Jeff. Love it. You can feel, knock yourself out, Jeff. You deserve it, mate. Not a problem at all. Yeah. That's great, mate. You carry on. That's fine with me. The kids have already said that's now their couch, so every Sunday they're just going to be here probably about 9 o'clock in the morning to jump on their couch. But obviously, if you want to just come and you know, play the adult card, say, "Oi, I'm an adult," then I'll leave that between you and those guys. That's fine. great. So yeah, by the way, those things on the table, you've got a Bible on the table. That's fantastic. I just thought it'd be helpful for us to actually get around the Bible. Me and the leaders did. We're having a chat this week, so that's partly why we're doing it. Partly doing it because it just means that we're a lot more like family. Why don't you just like take the opportunity to say hello to somebody next to you, because that's the whole point. Say hello and just sort of greet each other. fantastic. Yeah, it's great. The beer mats on your table don't represent a serious change in kind of ecclesiology. you know, don't worry, we're not going to be sort of bringing out a flagon or anything this morning. They're actually adverts for the church as well. You might have noticed that. We don't just throw the show together. So we've got 2,000 of those little bad boys to get rid of. So every week there's going to be some of those on your table. If you want to take them home for your own general purpose, if you've got friends coming over and they ask for, you know, they're not just beer mats, we call them coasters, so that they can be used for soft drinks as well and not feel like, where's the beer in my soft drink? But use them, like, you know, just give it to people who are interested in church and say, well, what's your church like? It's got the church website on there as well. Just was a nice little idea. So, and they're there for you to take. Not to use as weapons. I know that if we had a load of young people in here, they'd be chucking them. It's not for that, but they are actually for just you know, spreading the word of the church. So that's those. Just quickly, can somebody shut the little duckling's door? Thanks, Chris. Cheers, mate. Because it says, have you noticed how on the church it says, "We get messy" on that door? It's almost like somebody wrote that for the church, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, we do get messy and they get loud and we love it, but we also like a little bit of space when we're doing the kind of sermony bit, the preach. So let me just open in prayer, guys, and then we're going to crack on. Lord, thank you so much for the reminders that you've given us this morning as we've sung. You're amazing, we're not. You're gracious and we're grateful. Lord, may that be how we leave this place this morning. I pray, Lord, that as I open your word now, that it would be your voice that's heard. And I want to pray, Lord God, that regardless of what state we've come to this place, Lord, I think some of us might have come, you know, a bit messy, a bit messed up, a bit burdened. Lord, I just want to pray that we will leave different, with hope in our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord, that you don't leave us to our own devices, but you have stepped in to save the day. And we're so grateful to you for that. So speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not doing Joseph's series this morning, I'm afraid. I'll explain why as the sermon unfolds. It's just a one-off sermon. Why have I got Maca Packer in my pocket? I don't know. Maca Packer can... just we thought church couldn't get any trippier this morning, we now got Maca Packer from In the Night Garden in my pocket. By the way, if you've seen In the Night Garden, it's blatantly whoever wrote down drugs, isn't it? I'm just saying that as an aside. What a random program. That is trippier than the Teletubbies, and that takes some beating. I used to live, when I was a student, I used to be a student, I know it's hard to believe, I didn't do a proper degree, as you know, but I lived with a bunch of guys who did do proper degrees, and they were like, some of them were really addicted to Father Ted. Now, Father Ted's not the most reverent comedy you're ever going to see in your life, but every time I seen them walk in the living room, they were watching it. And there's one scene on one of those episodes that's just the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. It was this priest called Dougal, who wasn't very bright, and Father Ted. And Father Ted was holding up a small plastic cow, and in the background was a field full of cows. And he was saying to Dougal, he was saying, no, Dougal, these are small and those are far away. And Dougal was like, no, I just don't get it. And like, because like, he was saying, look, this is a small cow, but because he's holding it by his eye, this cow looked the same size as the ones in the field. Now, in reality, the small cow next to the big cow was tiny. But because it was right next to his eye in his line of vision, they both looked the same size. In fact, the small cow could look even bigger, depending on how much he drew it to his eye. And in a kind of funny kind of way, it was a lesson for him in where you fix your focus and in your perspective. And I think so often, guys, we get that perspective going on in our lives. We look at what is here and now and it's in our face, and it dominates our line of sight to the point which we can't see God for who he is, and he seems far away, and he seems quite small, and what we're going through in life or what we're contending with is just like huge, because it's like dominating our vision. And what we're doing this morning, guys, is we're going to look at a psalm which tackles that issue. This week, I'm not exaggerating, okay? This week is one of the most difficult weeks that I've endured in my entire life. I'm not going to go into details of why, it's too much to go into. But even my mother died recently, and in some ways it's been even more difficult than that week. And I have struggled personally to get my perspective right in the middle of a really difficult week. And people that I've spoken to this week and different situations that I know are going on, and because I just know what life is like, I know for a fact I'm not the only person this week that would say, maybe not the worst week of your life, but maybe this week has been a tough week. Truth is, if this week hasn't been a tough week, next week might be. The truth is that some of you have been through tough weeks, and this is sort of going to resonate with you because you've been through this. Some of you are going through this, and if you're one of those really blessed people that's never had a bad week in your life, do me a favor, put this in your pocket and keep it there, because one day you're going to have to pull it out. Let this be a seed that takes root in your life, because I believe that like when weeks are difficult, when weeks are tough, we need to remove the temptation to put that week in front of our eyes and say, I don't understand how this is any smaller than what I know to be true of God. I want to say to you guys that we can be unshakable as Christians, and that's what I want us to look at this morning. So on your tables, if you haven't bought your Bible, is a Bible, and on page 575, if you've got the really nice flashy ones that we've provided, it's page 575. And this psalm is basically why I'm sharing this morning, guys. See, what I don't want to do is I don't want to inflict like my week on you, right? But this week, this has been what's kept my head above water, to be honest with you. And I thought I could come and do a normal sermon, but I just want to share my heart with you this morning. I just want to just splurge what God has given me to keep me from going under this week. And he's given me a bunch of stuff, but I find it really well captured in Psalm 62. I'll give you a bit of background to Psalm 62. It's written by a bloke called David. He's the guy that wrote Psalm 51 that we sang from earlier. David was a great man of God, but he knew what it was to have a bad day. He knew what it was to have a bad week, and even to have a bad year. He spent much of his life on the run from men that wanted to kill him. People saying things about him. People threatening him. People just like really after his blood. The king himself was after him, and for a long time he was running from cave to mountain, living, you know, just living in the hills, fearing for his life. And so many of the best psalms. Come on, guys, those of you who love the psalms like me, and if you don't love the psalms, you should love the psalms. They're brilliant. We love it because so much of it is people like David just being really raw and really honest and saying, "This is where I'm at. I'm not going to hide this from God, and I'm not going to hide this by his grace to the church of the 21st century. We can get an insight into what was going on in David's life by reading it now. And guys, this is truth what we're going to look at this morning, okay? This isn't me saying this is how I did it, because I'm still in the middle of it, all right? This is God being gracious. This is God showing just something so we can take what is in front of us and get in our perspective right, like how it should be. And I read it out to you. It's only 12 verses, then we're going to just go through it together. So it says this: "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work." We're going to come to what David was suffering later in the psalm. And can I say to you, that's one of the biggest lessons that I can come to with this morning. You know, when you're going through it, You know, and it can be in so many different ways, guys, that things can come and that things can afflict you and things can batter you. But you know when you're going through it, it's so hard not to get out of bed and that be the first thing you think of, isn't it? It's so hard not to put your head on the pillow and that not be the last thing that is consuming you. It's so hard not to have that in the forefront of your mind all the time, isn't it? And I love that one of the greatest lessons I got from this psalm as I was reading it through, and this just came out this morning, was that he mentions what's going on in his life after he's focused on God, not before. He doesn't say, God, this is going on. By the way, you're great. And come on, we do that, don't we? God, this is what's going on in my life. This hurts. This is confusing. This is damaging me. Where are you? And David, even with so much against him, the first words that he speaks are these. Guys, let this sink deep into your heart, whoever you are and wherever you are right now. For God alone. Those three words. Do you know, the only way that you're not going to go down in this world is if you are for God alone. Not God plus. We try God plus all the time. God, I'll have you, but I want to sort this out myself. God, I'll have you, but this is too difficult, and I think you might need my input on this. God, I've brought this before your throne of grace, but I feel the need. I need to intervene myself now because it's too long. No. Guys, you need God alone. I need God alone. No one, no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. God alone. Guys, do you do life for God alone? Do you depend on God alone? Are you clinging to God alone? One of the most difficult things for me this week has been the reality, the realization that I haven't. You know when things come against you and it just rushes on you? Those flames come and the gold is getting purified, but the crud rises to the surface. I've seen things in my flesh. I didn't know how much I was depending on myself. I didn't know how much I thought I had answers. I didn't know how much I was kind of driving on fumes. And I want to say to you guys, if you're not for God alone this morning, you can sort it out this morning. Say, Lord, I'm sorry if I've been depending on myself. I'm sorry if I've been depending on other people. I'm sorry if I've been trying to handle this without you. Lord, you alone. I need you alone. Guys, if you've got God, you've got enough. Literally. There's loads of other cool things in this world that can help us. Friends, family, advice, websites, books. It's not God. I love my wife so much. You know, she's not God. I don't need God and Michelle. I need God. And Michelle needs me to have God as well. God alone. We need to be a church who are for God alone. Listen to this. He says, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. My soul waits in silence. You know, we are so busy, aren't we? Yesterday, Josiah was having one of his, I really need to sleep, but I'm not going to sleep moments. And when he does that, I just got to go chuck him in. Well, I'll chuck him in the car. That would be, for the purpose of the tape, I don't chuck him in the car. I gently place him lovingly in the car and take him for a drive. Because within 2 minutes, he's gone. You can just turn the engine off and have a read, like. But obviously, in this sunshine, you've got to go and find a tree to park under or something because it's boiling. So yesterday, I've had a chaotic week, and I put Joey in the car, and I went and I got a special tree in a very tranquil, secluded place. I'm not telling any of you where it is, because you'll nick it. And the next time I go there, you'll be there. And no offense, but sometimes I just want to be there in my car. And so I was there under my tree. And do you know what I heard for the first time this week? Birds singing. For the first time. And it was such a mad sound. It was like, but obviously better than that, because they were birds, not me, like trying to do birds. But like, I had spent 6 or 7 days so disquieted, so rushing from one thing to another, so freaking out, so just like trying to like just get my head around stuff. I had not given God the space to be God. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Guys, are we still in the middle of turmoil? When it's all kicking off, has God got the space? Or are we still trying to sort it out ourselves? He says, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. Do we give God the space to be God? Are we too busy trying to take his place and do his job for him? I ain't picking on you guys. Like I said, there's many fingers pointing back at me. I heard the birds for the first time yesterday. And God just said, you haven't let me be God 1 minute this week, have you? You haven't waited for me.
you haven't given me space to be in your life. You've just gone and done it and just freaked out and just completely left me behind. And do you know the great thing, though? This is not in the sermon. I said sorry and he forgave me. You know what? And he met with me. He didn't say, you're rubbish, you are. You know, you've been reading your Bible for years. And he keep, like, you know, not giving me space. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Be God. He said, okay. He did. He drew close to me. He does that. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. Check this out. From him comes my salvation. Love the word salvation. A lot of people ask me what this tattoo down my arm here means. Again, this isn't me saying Christians should have tattoos. But like, I have got it. And it's the Hebrew word, yeshar. Which is where you get the name Jesus from. It's where you get the word salvation. It's actually the word salvation. It means to deliver. It means to set free. It means to be victorious. And that's what this word here is. From him comes my victory. From him comes my deliverance. From him comes my liberty. From him. And I need to wait for him. Because no one else has got that stuff, guys. No one else has got the answers for what we go through in this world. I need to wait for him. And that's, you know, when you're waiting for a bus, isn't it interesting, like waiting for a bus? And if you've done that, how many people just sit there waiting for a bus without playing with their mobile, listening to their Walkman, flicking through a magazine, or talking to someone? We don't like waiting. Waiting's kind of, I don't know, this empty silence, isn't it? There's a silence, there's a gap, there's something which isn't happening, and we think something should be happening. I want to say to you guys that if you're going through it right now and the bus hasn't arrived yet, you haven't seen freedom from that situation, salvation hasn't come in that way, because there's salvation which is in the moment as well as salvation which is eternal. We'll come to that in a minute. But like in that situation, if God hasn't completely set you free from that situation yet, don't be like them guys at the bus stops, fidgeting, playing, getting stressed out, saying, where is it? Let God use that moment to be God. Listen to him. Pray to him. Talk to him. Depend on him. Say, Lord, I don't know why I'm still waiting for this bus, but I'm waiting. And that bus is going to come. I guarantee it. There's no such thing as a Christian that suffers to the point where there's no grace, because even if we suffer to death, there's grace for heaven for the Christian. That bus will come. But there's also, obviously, the fact that he has saved us already in Christ. We'll come to that in just a minute. So, from him comes my salvation. He only, it's that same word again, for God alone. Now, he only is my rock. What does that mean, rock? What's a rock? I mean, like, up here, a rock is a little thing you find on a mountain, isn't it? Like, when God's saying, I'm your rock, he's not saying, I'm your pebble. He's not saying, I'm something smaller, just sort of like what you trip over. He's saying somewhere solid to stand. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock. It's a place which is safe and a place which is solid. It's not so much a pebble on a mountain as the top of the mountain. But when the rains come and the floods come, the rock doesn't budge. And if you're standing in Christ, you're standing on a rock. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 7. And it's just brilliant. You've heard the story, I'm sure, of the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the house on the sand fell flat. Let's sing it together. No, that's not. Okay. And it's Matthew chapter 7. And this is what it says. Jesus said this, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew. Because they don't they? The rain does fall, the floods do come, the wind does blow. And they beat on that house. The house was taking an absolute battering. Never felt like that. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them would be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Guys, all you need in your storm is Jesus. If he's your rock, if he's who you're standing on, if he's who you're putting your trust and your faith in, you will stand. The storms will still come. So many treat Christianity, they think it's like this kind of get out of jail card. It's like, well, if I become a Christian, God will give me a better life. If I become a Christian, then things will be better, right? Because God's a God who blesses people. He likes blessing people. Therefore, if I come to God, then that's kind of a way of like getting out of trouble and having no storms hit in my life and nothing bad happening, isn't it? And that's not what the Bible tells us. There's no way you can avoid the storms of this life, guys. But there is a way you can stand. And Christ doesn't give you a avoid the storm ticket. He gives you the foundations and the depth and the roots that you need, so that when the storm has come and the storm has gone, you're still standing, and he gets the glory for it. So God alone is my rock. He's my salvation. He's the one who saves me. Guys, this week, there came a day where I just had to stop and say, God, no matter what else goes on in my life this week, no matter if anything else goes wrong, if anything else is bad, if anything else is painful, you have forgiven me. My sins are nailed to the cross. I am saved by Jesus Christ, and I'm going to heaven, and nothing which is going on right now is going to take that reality away from me. That's not a nice pie-in-the-sky idea. That kept me afloat this week. Okay? Guys, you've got to know that you're saved. You've got to know that no matter what this world throws at you, the work of Christ is finished. It is finished, he said on the cross. He died for my sins and our sins once and for all. And nothing that goes on is going to rob me of that. Nothing is going to rob me of that joy. And for you, if you put your faith in him, no matter what this world throws at you, you can know that assurance that God loves me. God is for me. He died for me and he rose for me. And he's waiting for me, just like I'm waiting for him. And one day I'm going to be with him forever. And all the crud that this world throws at me is going to make that day taste sweeter. The worse this world gets, the more painful this world gets, the more I'm going to love on him when I get there for saving me from it. That's salvation. Have you got that, guys? Have you got that perspective? You need to pull that little cow in from in front of your eye and look at the reality of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. You know, what we go through in this world is so small. It is, compared to what Christ suffered. It feels massive, and I don't want to nullify the pain that we go through and just how bad that can mess us up. But guys, his grace is deeper still. Always. Always. Love that. So he's my rock. He's my salvation. Check this one out. My fortress. Do you know what a fortress is? It's like a little castle. If you go down Tumbalum, like just go on, if you sort of go across that mountain over there, walk all the way along till you're above Cumbran. There's a little place called Tumbalum. It's got a less appropriate name I can't use in the sermon, but it's called something else. But it's like this little sort of like nubbin on the top of the mountain above Cumbran. And it's a little nubbin because there used to be a little fortress on there, believe it or not. A fortress is a castle. It's a place, normally on top of a hill, where if you're in trouble, if you're out in the field one day, and you're sort of sowing your beans or whatever, and then you see an army coming, and they're saying, we're going to kill you. You don't say, don't worry, I've got my little seeds. You say, get to the fortress. Because I've got to get to the fortress so they don't get me. And the fortress is a place of security. It's a place where they lock the doors. They had guards on the towers with their bows and arrows. Pew, and all that, little slingshots, I'm sure, as well, because David was on the scene. And like that's a place where you were safe. And you could hang out in the fortress. There was supplies there. There was water there. Sure, it wasn't as comfortable as being at home with your wife, but it was better than being out there with all the baddies. And David is saying, you're my fortress. When it comes against me, if I've got to run anywhere, I'm running to you. Guys, who do you run to when the baddies come? Where do you run to? What do you run to? So many, I've had a bad day. I've got to get down the off license now. I've had a bad day. I've got to go and find someone to smack. I've had a bad day. I've got to rant at someone. I've had a bad day. I need to let off some steam. I have a bad day. Where's my therapist? And David says, he's my fortress. There's only one direction that I'm going to run to when it comes against me. And do you know what, guys? It's brilliant. The more baddies there are, the faster you run. Do you know what I mean? If there's one or two baddies, you might do a light jog. Three or four baddies, maybe a little canter. An army of baddies, you're doing 100 meters in 9 seconds flat. I'm telling you. And the great thing is that the worse it gets, just the quicker you should run to him. Not, go and see what God's got to say about it. But, Scarpa! Into the fortress. Martin Luther, he's a famous mad monk from Germany. He's great though. And he wrote a hymn called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And he is. Guys, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, the Bible says. Not because I've got the defense, it's because he is my defense. Are you hiding in Christ? Guys, if you're going through it, have you run to him for your security? Have you run to him for your strength? Have you run to him for your comfort? Are you hiding behind a tree somewhere till the baddies have gone away? Because there's more around the corner. I want to be in Christ. I want to stay there. I quite like the fortress. He said this. He said that God is his salvation. God is his rock. God is his salvation. God is his fortress. And then he makes an incredible statement. A statement which, if he had made this before he'd said all that, you'd be like, you're having a laugh. He says, I shall not be greatly shaken. No matter what's thrown at you this week, guys, no matter what you're going through, you can say with David, I shall not be greatly shaken. But only if you believe the stuff that David has already confessed about God. You can't say those words legitimately if God's not your fortress, if God's not your rock, if God's not your salvation. You can't. You will be shaken. Some of you have been shaken this week. Like I said, I have been shaken this week because I wasn't living in the reality of this. If that blows your picture of me as the perfect pastor out of the water, the guy that never gets anything wrong and never has any problems, and therefore I have a right to stand up here and preach to you, I'm sorry. But this week I was shaken because I wasn't clinging to this. Since I've clung to this, I haven't been shaken. Has it hurt? Yes. Has there been pain? Yes, but I haven't been shaken. I've got my perspective back. He is that God. He goes on then and says, look, this is what's going on. He says, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him? His problem is people, and his people are battering him. it's quite helpful language, I reckon. He says, how long? This has been going on for a long time. And this is the point where it's got him to. Like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. Like, you know, a wall when it's been back. Like, I'm sure you have. You've seen a wall where a car's driven into it. If you were tired, you wouldn't sort of lean on that wall afterwards, would you? You'd be like, because you just fall down. Because when a wall's been plowed into, it's not stable anymore. None of you would put a fence up and go, I'm going to make this the most rickety fence that I could possibly build. So when I lean on it, I'm going to fall in my neighbor's garden. But what's happened is life has come, and it's come, and it's come. And these people, his enemies, and for enemies, guys, don't just read people, read situations, read doubts, read whatever it is that's come against you, has come, and it's come, and it's come. And he's got to the point where he's felt like a leaning wall or a tottering fence, where just the slightest bit, one more little bit of pressure, and he's going to crumble. One more little bit of pressure, and he's going to just hit the floor. That's where he's got to, and yet he's still saying, I shall not be greatly shaken. He's been knocked down, but he hasn't been knocked out. And he just goes on to explain some of the stuff which they've done against him. In this case, it's people that are planning against him. It's people that are enjoying telling lies about him. It's people that are saying nice things about him to his face, but inside they're cussing him out. And then he busts into the chorus again. Only there's a slight change to the chorus. See if you can spot it. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. Let me tell you how that's a change. The first one says, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. He was setting forth for that as a principle. But now he's preaching to himself. Listen. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. All of a sudden he's saying, I need to be proactive in this. Because I don't find this easy. Oh, my soul, wait in silence. Shut everything else out. Come on. Focus on God. Get your perspective back on God. Wait for God. He's pleading with himself. And then he says this, not just my salvation is from him, my hope is in him. It's from him. My hope is from him. That word hope is a brilliant word. It means my expectations will be met. Guys, if you are a Christian, your God will come through. Full stop. I can't promise it will be today. I can't promise it will be tomorrow. But if you wait and you hope, your expectations will be fulfilled. If you expect salvation from a Savior, you will get it. But are you hoping in him? Are you hoping in him? He only is my rock and my salvation. He's back on his little chorus again. My fortress, I shall not be shaken. Then I like this bit. On God rests my salvation and my glory. It's all pinned on him. My glory, my salvation, the only person that's got that is him. I've hedged all my bets on him. I haven't left a little bit aside in case he doesn't come through. It's all hanging on Christ. The only glory that's going to come to me is the glory of Christ. And I'll enjoy his glory. The only hope which I get is the glory of him that he gives. God, on God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock. I love that word. He's saying he's not just a rock now. He's a mighty rock. And then this word. My refuge is God. There's another description of God as a refuge. Do you know what a refuge is? It's a place where you go to be safe. That's where you get the word refugee from. People that have fled a difficult situation and have gone for help and for hope and for comfort and security. Obviously, the way these things are in this country at the moment, not all refugees find that in the countries that they go to. But a refuge is somewhere that you go for the burden to be lifted, for a bit of space, for a bit of respite. And God is that. Guys, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Do you know that? He doesn't, you know, he's not just this kind of Pentecostal being that just sort of like turns up on Sundays and makes all these like mad things happen. Like, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does show up in church on Sundays. He explains the Bible to us. But he's also a comforter. He draws close to us. So that no matter what it is that we're burdened by, no matter what it is that we're going through, there's a supernatural comfort available. And in the midst of the storm, there's a refuge called God. And I want to ask you guys, is he your refuge? Because he can be, and I tell you, he wants to be. Refugees have to be so humble. Have you ever thought about a refugee having to say, I can't stick it in my country. I have to be willing to admit that I need help from outside. I need to be willing to take the effort to get there. I need to be willing to be humble enough to say, please help me. I am beyond help. If you want God to be your refuge, you need to be humble, guys. You need to be willing to say, God, I can't do it. My own resources are not enough. I cannot stand. I cannot cope. And he'll say, come on in. I'll give you what you need. I'll shelter you. I'll shepherd you. I'll look after you. And then there's a little word there. There's one earlier on called Selah. It just means pause. Have a think about that for a minute. So before I just finish this sermon off, in about a minute or so's time, just pause. Guys, is God your rock, your fortress, your salvation, your hope, your refuge? Can be. And all of a sudden, he just goes on one. He says, those of low estate are but a breath. I love this. He brings the upper class and the lower class into this. He goes, the people who are poor, they're like a breath. The people who are rich of high estate, they're a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They're altogether lighter than a breath. He says, listen. You need to hear this whether you've got money or not. You need to hear this if you've got position or not. You need to hear this no matter where you stand in the social pecking order, whether you're rich or poor, you need this refuge. He says, and then he starts preaching to us. He says, put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. He's basically saying, no matter what your state is, don't put your faith and your hope and your trust in the things of the world to sort you out. Don't say, if I just had a few more pounds in my pocket, it would be okay. I don't need God. Don't say if I had a few more friends, then it would be okay and I wouldn't need God. Don't say if I just had, you know, if I had a better job, I lived in a different council estate. If I had a different family, don't say that. Because you need God. Don't put your faith and your trust in the things of this world. If you put your faith in those things, guys, you've got a quid in your quid in your pocket 1 minute and it's gone the next. Your friends will be there for you 1 minute and they'll be gone the next. People come and people go. Aside from Michelle, the one person that has never let me down, you know, was my mom, and she's not here anymore. I couldn't pin my hopes on her. But God's never let me down and he's still here. Set your faith and your hope and your trust in who lasts. Only God is eternal. And then he says this. Oh, do you know what, guys? I'm really sorry. I missed a bit in verse 8 because I'm not preaching from notes. I've got to go back to that. This is what he starts preaching to people. I'm really sorry. I should have come to this earlier. Trust in him at all times, O people. This is when he starts talking to other people. This is when he says, listen, you people, whoever you are listening, whoever's singing to the song, listening to the song I'm singing, because that's what he's singing a song here. I mean, it must be a bit of a kind of emo song, I reckon, but he's singing it, right? He's saying, oh, you people, trust him at all times. Don't just trust God when it's easy to trust God. Don't say God provides for my needs when you've got a steady salary coming in and everything's going well. Say God provides for my needs when I've got no way of meeting my needs. Trust him. Don't just say God is good when the sun is shining on your life. Say God is good when that storm is battering you. Trust Him. Depend on Him. Cling to Him.
Joey's learned this little song, which we've been teaching with Ellen, and it goes like this. It goes, with Christ in the boat. That's the old version. I got told off of that. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. You know that one? And then it goes, sailing home. Yeah, I won't sing the whole thing because I've already, that's a bit emo as well, isn't it? But but provided Jesus is in your boat and you're trusting Him, you will sail home. You will get there. As soon as you say, bail out, I'm jumping over the edge because this storm's too rocky, you are on your own. Guys, trust Him. Trust Him. Even there's that story with the disciples, wasn't there? When there's a storm came and Jesus was having a kip. And the disciples thought, Jesus doesn't care. And He did care, and He did still the storm. And that boat wouldn't have sunk because Jesus said, I'm going over there, and He was going to get there. Guys, you need to know that if Jesus is in your boat, it'll be okay. He says, pour out. He doesn't just say, trust Him at all times, oh people. He's not saying, look, just trust Him, man. What's wrong with you? The next bit. Pour out your heart before Him. Pour out your heart. Guys, if it's tough, tell Him. Listen, well, that's not very spiritual to admit that I'm struggling. God doesn't want to hear me whinging. God doesn't want to hear me being all negative about things. David says, pour out your hearts before Him. Splurge it out. You haven't got to do that on a Sunday. Go and find a tree. Just don't nick mine. But go and find a tree. Go and find a mountaintop. Go and find a cafe. Go and find somewhere, even a little bit of space in your own home, where you just say, God, bleh. Pour out your hearts before Him. He knows what's in them anyway. It's actually an act of worship to pour your heart out before God. Because it's your way of saying, God, I can't handle it, but I know You can. God, I'm weak. I know You're strong. God, I'm not able. I know You are. And He closes the psalm with this. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to You, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. You know, I've needed both those things this week, guys. I've needed the power of God. Not in a wacky way. Just in the getting through the day way. I've needed power to get through each day. And He has got so much power. He is all powerful. Omnipotent is the big Bible word. It means all powerful. There's no power that is like greater than God. He is the greatest power that there is. And He happily gives that power to people like you and me. It's a power not just to survive, but a power to excel. A power to be able to get to Sunday morning and say, I've had a rough week and I'm still standing. Is it my power? No. The Bible says that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. I'm telling you guys, I'm weak. I feel so weak this week. You know, I feel pathetic this week in many ways. If I was being judged how I've handled this week from a human perspective, I'd be a laughing stock. Okay? I've cried like a baby several times this week. Listen to this. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. If you want to know where that is, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, page 1162. Struck down but not destroyed because of His power at work in us. Power belongs to God and so does steadfast love. Guys, this is what I'm going to close on. No matter what happens this week, I am loved with a love that will last forever. You're a Christian? There's a love that will never fail you. There's a love that goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, all the way into eternity, and it started before the world was created, just for you. God loves you steadfastly. Do not lose sight of that. Forget the cow illustration, all right? Let's look at the love illustration. Let love be your focus. Because if your situation gets out of the way, you will see a love that is higher than the heavens are above the earth. Psalm 103 teaches us that. Guys, if you don't, you might not believe that you're loved. How do I know God loves me that much? Look at the cross of Jesus. God demonstrates His own love towards us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
I have to come back to the cross all the time. And I spent more time there this week than I have done for a while. And just looked at the fact that my God loves me that much. And nothing this world is going to throw at me. Nothing is going to kick my feet off that rock. Guys, not loved. Some of you need to hear that this week. Some of you need to hear someone telling you that God loves you. I am telling you, God loves you. The cross of Jesus is proving that God loves you. And this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to completely just drive into you, just completely convince you, persuade you that God loves you. I want to pray this afternoon, no matter what football's on the telly, no matter what the result is, let that be what gives you a buzz today. And let that be what gets you through your life, let alone this week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that David could say, I will not be greatly shaken. And Lord, I want to pray that for myself and for my... Lord, I love these people. Every person in this room, Lord, I love them because you put a love in my heart for them. But Lord, that love is just so rubbish next to your love. So many of us, God, have just gone through it, are going through it, will go through it. And if you're gracious and you send more people into this church from this estate, there'll be more people going through it. Father, make us a church that is aware of your love and of your power. I pray. Thank you that the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave is at work in us. Lord, may we not sink. May we not go down, but may we sing with David, I will not be greatly shaken. Lord, thank you for being a rock, a refuge, a fortress, and our salvation. What a wonderful God. I love you so much, Lord. Thank you. Amen.